Rat Pack, where you at? What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Racklin. It is Wednesday, January 10th, and I'll tell you, it never fails. Whether it's me recording a podcast, locking it, publishing it, doing the draft guides in the offseason, locking them, publishing them, inevitably something is going to happen immediately after that will render some, if not all, of what I say essentially useless. And that happened yesterday, probably a half hour after I put the podcast up. News broke, not even a half hour, it might have been like 20 minutes after. News broke that Mike Vrabel was fired. So I said it was 50-50 on the podcast, and I said, hey, there. I think I said something to the effect that I wasn't sure he was going to be back. Well, he's not back, and he immediately now becomes the top head coaching candidate out there on the market. Of course, one team who will not be interested in him is the Chicago Bears. They are going to retain Matt Eberflus, although they moved on from Luke Getsy. So more on that to come. But today we are focused on postseason fantasy football drafts. Fantasy football never ends. Of course, your regular season is over, but why not do a league? I mean, seriously, why not do a league? Why not do a variety of formats? But if you are in draft and hold format, obviously the strategy is going to be different. It's going to be more like best ball because typically these formats, if you're kind of new to it, here's how I often run these formats. If you do it with seven teams, the reason why you do seven teams is that way all seven teams get two quarterbacks, two defenses, two kickers. They're required to get two and only two, must have two of each of those. Then you would do, I typically do eight flex spots. So no requirements for this amount of running backs or wide receivers or tight ends. And no starting requirements. Everybody on your roster plays. So the goal is not only to score a lot of points each week, obviously, but you want to pick guys on teams who have the chance of playing several games. And here's where you obviously have to plant your flag. Everybody this year, I'm going to tell you flat out, everybody this year is going to be gunning for San Francisco first and foremost, and then Baltimore secondarily. You will not get a San Francisco team stack. If you get Brock Purdy, good luck. Maybe you get one. Maybe you get Kittle. Maybe you get Ayuk. You're not getting Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. You're not probably getting Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel unless you're on the turn. And even then, I don't know if Brock Purdy gets to you. So that's going to be tricky. You can do a Lamar stack. You definitely can. It's obviously not as potent a stack as a Purdy and company stack for the 49ers. So then there are two secondary teams that everybody is going to be gunning for. And by the way, all of this is broken down in a free article at ftnfantasy.com. You can go check it out. You don't have to be a subscriber. Totally free. The other two teams, the sort of secondary teams that I suspect a lot of people will be gunning for, Dallas and Buffalo. Those are more doable stacks, by the way. There is a world where, especially at towards the back end of that first round, you could do a CD Dak stack. And by the way, I love CD. We'll get into my rankings in a bit. I love CD for the postseason. Absolutely love him. I love him in general, but love him for the postseason. Those stacks are more doable. So even though I think a lot of folks will be gunning for those stacks, I don't think it's outlandish for you or for me to also gun for those stacks. And same thing with Buffalo. I think Josh Allen is tremendously valuable, especially if they play three games. He doesn't even have to get to the Super Bowl to be the number one scorer in the postseason. He doesn't have to. He could play three games and be the number one scorer. We know how Josh Allen can put points on the board. So I think, you know, for Stephon Diggs, he could get all the way back around. If you took Allen like first or second overall, you could still stack with Diggs. You certainly can get James Cook. You certainly could get Dalton Kincaid and so on. I'd be a little reluctant, a little wary with Gabe Davis because he is banged up right now. But those are doable stacks. Now, from there, you do have to plant your flag on a remaining team or two. And the reason why I say this, if you're going to go into a draft with only like two or three teams that you want to go after, and you have to stack, team stack, not just what receiver quarterback stack, team stack, get everybody from the team. Not things we want to do in redraft in August in our drafts. We don't want to do that because the correlation is bad. Here, I don't care about correlation. All I care about is teams winning and putting points on the board. That's it. So we want to go after it. If you come into a draft with like three teams and you don't get any of those teams, because early in your draft is going to really set the tone for who you go after. And say you miss on one or more of the, well, you miss on all of them, let's say, and you don't have any other teams in your pocket, you're just going to be shooting from the hip. And that's not good. We have to have a plan in place. So the question then is, you know, which of these teams are we looking at beyond these this sort of big four of the 49ers, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Cowboys? And I think we can run through really quickly here before I get into rankings what essentially we want to do here with the remaining teams left. Okay, so your remaining teams, I'm going to toss Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Just going to toss them because I do not think they win, right? So they're out. That leaves us with Cleveland, Kansas City, Houston, Miami on the AFC side, Detroit, the Rams, Philly, and Tampa on the NFC side. I don't think Miami wins in Kansas City. I'm tossing them. So that means I'm not going after Tyreek Hill in these drafts whatsoever. I'm not going to do it, even, and especially given the cold weather there. Tampa, I don't think they win. You got to plant your flag. If they do win, I don't think they play more than two games. Same with Philly. I think they win, but I don't really think it matters. I don't think they play more than two games. I'll let somebody else go after them. Kansas City, I actually do think they win. And, you know, they have a shot at playing three games. We know this team can make runs. They can get hot. But I think others will gravitate towards Kansas City, given who they are. So I'll let them do that. Knowing that there are going to be others in my league who are going to try for like a Mahomes-Kelsey stack, fine, do it. So Cleveland, I think, beats Houston. So Houston is out. I think Cleveland is very interesting. They're going to be one of my teams that I'm going to plant a flag on. That leaves two teams left, Detroit and the Rams. And if you're in that position similar to me, who do you think wins? Now, I think the Rams win. I do. But it's going to be close. If you think the Lions win, then you plant your flag on the Lions. These are the dark horse teams, and every so often those dark horse teams, if you get three games out of, even if it's a surprise, three games out of Cleveland, and you have a Cleveland stack, you're probably winning the thing. If you get three games out of the Rams or the Lions or whoever you choose, if it's Kansas City, whoever you choose, you're probably winning the thing. So you have to make that declaration before the fact to yourself. Yes, of course, San Francisco and Baltimore, if the opportunity presents itself, are teams to go after. They're the priority. If not, Dallas and Buffalo, yes, they're the secondary teams. But I still think we need that sort of tertiary, two additional teams. I like to have one AFC, one NFC. And for me, it's Cleveland and the Rams. For you, maybe it's Kansas City and Detroit or whoever. But make that, have that established. I do think all four of the top teams probably should be on your list. Just saying, if you disagree with me, that's fine, but I'm just saying here. So I have three AFC, three NFC, and let's say I do get Baltimore early, then I'm going to cross Buffalo and, unfortunately, Cleveland off my list because I'm going to go hard on Baltimore, and then that would leave me essentially with Dallas or the Rams, and whoever I end up hitting on, then I'm going to go after hard. That's the approach that I like to use. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in these drafts. I don't know who my opponents are going to go after. And unlike season-long drafts where I have a lot more confidence, I have learned over the years, these are so unpredictable. Like, you will have some people game stacking or team stacking like crazy. You will have other people who are just drafting it like it's like we're in August, and they're just drafting the best players. You never quite know. So be prepared for anything to happen, but also be prepared with the teams that you want to go after. And when the opportunity presents itself, go all in. Like, team stack like crazy in these things. All right, let's get into rankings. So my rankings are going to be reflective of how I see it playing out in the postseason. And again, you can get that over at ftnfantasy.com. Quarterback, I have it this way. I have Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy. They're all with first-round grades. So quarterbacks go early. In these leagues, I think that's perfectly fine because they are going to score the most points. If I drafted Lamar, then I am on Baltimore. If I draft Dak, I am on Dallas. If I draft Josh Allen, I'm on Buffalo. Like that's how it works. After that, still good value or still good opportunities. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. I'm not in on those guys, but they will go early, depending on Hurts' status. Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, I like that little spot. They're 15 and 16 overall for me. The quarterbacks I don't want, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, C.J. Stroud, Baker Mayfield, Tua Tagovailoa, and Mason Rudolph. I will try to get two of the top, essentially, eight quarterbacks. I'm going to try and get two of those guys in my postseason drafts. Over to running back, it's pretty easy at the top, Christian McCaffrey. But here's where your game projections are going to impact what you do, because I have James Cook as the number two. If they play three games, he's going to outscore somebody like Isaiah Pacheco, who only plays two games, even though pound for pound, if it was in a vacuum, I would much rather have Pacheco or Kyron Williams for that matter. Mind you, I do have Kyron Williams at two or at three. If they play two games, he's going to put up big numbers. We know Sean McVay feeds him the rock. After that, Pacheco, Tony Pollard, who I do like him to play a bunch, you know, potentially play three games, but he has not played particularly well this year. Gus Edwards, you can get him cheap on that Baltimore stack. Jerome Ford at seven if you're in on Cleveland. Then Devon Achane, I don't expect him to play more than one game. The conditions in that game are going to be frigid, by the way. Jahmyr Gibbs, again, one game. DeAndre Swift, don't love him, but potentially get two games out of him. Rashad White would be higher if I had them winning. And then again, like, you have to make that determination. So if you think they win, then you move him up the board, and he might be, you know, he might be up near Jerome Ford potentially if you have him playing two games, or maybe even ahead of him. Then I have David Montgomery, Raheem Mostert. I do have Achane ahead of Mostert because Mostert's still banged up. Justice Hill, not bad value for a Baltimore team stack. Aaron Jones, who's been playing good coming in, but I do not expect them to play more than one game. Kareem Hunt, Najee Harris, Devin Singletary. Kareem Hunt is the secondary. I do like him to play more than one game, but he's the secondary. And then a bunch of, you know, one and done types. There are opportunities like late in drafts. If you had San Francisco and you have a lot of roster spots, then sure, you could go after Elijah Mitchell or Jordan Mason, especially if you have Christian McCaffrey. The only challenge there is, you know, handcuffing those guys. If they don't play and McCaffrey doesn't get hurt, they're not going to score any points. So handcuffing isn't necessarily the best, although you're still getting a team stack. And if they make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to make out pretty well. Moving over to wide receiver, it is CeeDee Lamb at the top. Remember way back when Larry Fitzgerald caught fire in the postseason, if you had him that year in your postseason fantasy football leagues, you won all the money. If he catches fire and Dallas catches fire, if Dallas makes it to the Super Bowl and you have CeeDee Lamb, game over. Like, if you drafted well elsewhere, game over. That is, of course, if you buy into Dallas winning multiple games. I know that team could go any direction. The reason why I really buy in on this, though, you get the Packers at home, then you're the number two seed, so you're going to get a second home game. And that's massive for this team. They were so stinking good at home. All right, let's go. Deebo Samuel, I actually have him at nine overall. I don't think he makes it that far. Again, people are going to be just gravitating towards the San Francisco 49ers. Stephon Diggs at three. He's 13th overall. That's why I thought maybe you could get that Josh Allen stack. Brandon Ayuk at 14. Again, I'm probably a little low on him. But okay, so I have Buffalo playing 2.7 games, Dallas playing 2.6. In the article, I break down how I arrive at those. It's based on your percentage chance of winning each game. But San Francisco at 2.3, and you might think, well, hey, they're the favorite. Yes, they are. But the maximum amount of games that San Francisco can play is three. The maximum amount that Dallas and Buffalo can play is four. And that's the difference maker between those two for me, which does change my board. Now, you might think it's a little bit closer. Like, maybe you have San Francisco playing 2.5 games and Buffalo playing 2.5 games. If that's the case, that's why I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm probably too low on Deebo Samuel on your board. On my board, I'm not, but on your board, it could change, right? It all depends on how you view it. Amari Cooper at five, if they play two games the way that he's been playing with Joe Flacco, that could be pretty explosive. And I don't think you have to draft him where I have him. Rashee Rice at six, playing very good football coming into the postseason. A.J. Brown at seven, he would be higher if there was a guarantee that he was fully healthy. He has a MRI, I believe it's scheduled for today. So we'll hear more on that to come. But we won't get a practice report for them until Thursday, being that it's a Monday night contest. Puka Nacua at eight, love what he has going for him. And if you haven't played two games, then that's a good spot for Nacua. Tyreek, as much as I love Tyreek, and hey, Tyreek is nine. He could outscore a whole bunch of receivers, even if he only plays one game. but I don't think they get through that contest against the Chiefs. We could have sub-zero temperatures in that game as well, something worth noting. Zay Flowers at 10, very doable stack with Lamar. Amon-Ra at 11. If you have Detroit winning that game, then yes, you move him up probably, well, you move him at least to where Puka Nacua is, right? And maybe even higher than that, maybe even up where Amari Cooper is, something along those lines if you think they win that first contest. Brandon Cooks at 12, and this is a prime example. Like, I have him ahead of Cooper Kupp. Who is next? Devontae Smith, Mike Evans. You know, in a vacuum, of course, those guys, Nico Collins, who's at 16, all of those guys would be ahead of Brandon Cooks. It's just that I have Dallas playing so many games, so then Brandon Cooks becomes more valuable. Now, if I don't draft Dak Prescott, I'm not drafting Brandon Cooks. Like, I'm not doing it. Because there's no benefit for me to do so. So this is a prime example. Like, when you're drafting in these leagues, don't just draft based on rankings. You're not going to draft the best possible team. After that, let's go. Cooper Kupp, as I mentioned, Devontae Smith, Mike Evans, Nico Collins. I have most, well, I have Kupp and Smith potentially playing two games. Smith coming into this one banged up as well. Evans and Collins only playing one. Jaylen Waddle playing one at 17. Odell Beckham potentially playing more than two games at wide receiver 18. He's very doable to stack up with Lamar. Then from there, Godwin, Gabe Davis at 20, though we have to see his injury status. Jaden Reed, Khalil Shakir, DeMarcus Robinson, not bad value down there, especially if you get Stafford. Elijah Moore, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson. I don't think they're going to get beyond that first game. Michael Gallup, Dontavian Wicks, Justin Watson, and then Christian Watson. My rankings go all the way to wide receiver 73 over at ftnfantasy.com, so you can go much deeper over there. Now, tight end, thankfully, almost every single postseason league I've ever been in has no tight end requirement. You just use these guys as flexes. So I do have Kittle as the number one, but I have Njoku pretty close to him. I think I'm probably, again, going to be low on Kittle, high on Njoku, but Njoku was absolutely steamrolling through this through that stretch run of the season with Joe Flacco, and I don't see that changing in this first game. If you think Cleveland wins, Njoku is going to be a very good value. Jake Ferguson at 3, again, if I don't have Dak Prescott, not really looking at him. Travis Kelce at 4, yes, all the way down at 4. I have Ferguson playing more, like a half more games. So, yes, while Kelce may average more per game, if Ferguson plays three games and Kelce plays two, my money's on Ferguson outscoring Kelce. Isaiah Likely at 5. He's going to be pretty easy to get if you get a Lamar stack. Dalton Kincaid at 6. Dallas Goedert at 7. I think those are pretty much the most draftable guys. Tyler Higbee's coming into this banged up. Dalton Schultz, you know, I don't think they play more than one game. Sam Laporta, same thing. And I mean, he's banged up. He may not even play. We'll have to see. Tucker Kraft, Dawson Knox. Like, yeah, Dawson Knox would be fine, by the way, if I have Josh Allen. I don't mind taking Dawson Knox late, especially for his touchdown ability. Some of these guys, though, like, you know, Harrison Bryant, I think that's like really pushing it, even if I had a Joe Flacco lineup. And he's all the way down at tight end 19. All right, so kicker and defense. In season-long drafts, if you're new to this format, in season-long drafts, you know, wait a kicker. Don't draft a kicker early. Don't be the first person to draft a kicker or a defense. Wait. Here, oh no, kickers matter. In fact, Brandon Aubrey, who's my number one kicker, and defenses matter too. Brandon Aubrey's 36 overall. I mean, this guy could put up some major points if they play three games, or especially if they play four games. So he will be the top kicker, 36 overall. You're going to see kickers go relatively early. Justin Tucker, number two, he's 46 overall. Tyler Bass is right there at 51 overall. Jake Moody, a little bit further down, but that team just scores so many darn touchdowns. That's the problem. Not a lot of field goals, field goal opportunities. But still, if you the thought process here, if I have Dak, then yeah, I probably want to get my hands on Brandon Aubrey. If I don't, and I have, like, let's say I have Josh Allen. All right, well, now I want Tyler Bass. Like, I want to get the kicker from that team to stack the team. And I want to prioritize it that way. Also, think about this too. Team kickers, team quarterbacks. That way, if Aubrey got hurt, you would still have whoever replaces him. If Lamar got hurt, then you would have Tyler Huntley if you do it that way. And a lot of sites will let you do the team quarterback. Same thing with defenses. I do like Buffalo and Dallas a lot, but I also love Baltimore. San Francisco is the number four, but they're all up there. Again, I'm going to really try and just stack with my quarterback if possible here. Stack with the quarterback, stack kicker, stack defense, team stack. That is the name of the game. If you want all of these rankings, we have them in an article with all the strategy, and I talk about how I break down my brackets, like pick games and everything like that, using a little bit of math, a little bit of Vegas odds over at ftnfantasy.com. I also have weekly rankings for the playoffs and the season, the full postseason rankings in our ranker tool, ftnfantasy.com. That's behind the paywall, though. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. I'm going to be back on Friday. We'll break down all of the games on this slate, fantasy, betting, and everything in between on Friday's pod. I'll catch you then. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.